ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 2. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
The devil wants it to blow up!
And he would be happy for it to blow up, because he's the author of confusion. You see, what we have is we have the heathen raging. But I tell you about the rage of the nations, but I want to tell you about the wrath of God, because that's what's on the agenda. It says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The word laugh is interesting here. It doesn't just mean laugh. It has the idea of making sport and playing. He's going to make sport and play. God looks at this as we ought to. He laughs. The thing that breaks our hearts is we maybe have family members or friends that are caught up in the nonsense, and that breaks our hearts. But, you know, from heaven's perspective, things are really getting exciting. You know, we think, oh, wow, how bad could things get? We were saying that like 8 months ago, you know, how bad, oh, are they going to, there's no way to pull it back. And then God pulls it back, and what we found is something huge developed. And it was people really got on board with each other. You got people rubbing shoulders with each other. You've got videos being measured out month to month, at least in the past, you know, 12, 14, 16 months, about where they were selling baby parts and all that. I've told you about that before. This stuff was clearly on the table. It was clearly on the table. Everybody knows. And you can get 500,000 women showing up at a march to say, I'm for that. You see how the pulling back of the veil says, I don't care. You see, this Gosno guy in Philadelphia, he thinks he's getting out. He was aggravated. He didn't get to join the poetry club in prison. The man is completely deluded. He had specimens of baby parts still in his place. He didn't dispose of them. He held them as trophies. This is crazy stuff. But he that sits in the heavens will laugh, because he says, listen, these people are now being shown to my people. Are you watching? Are you seeing? Could you imagine it ever being this bad? You see, extreme times demands extreme measures. And God is doing some stuff on the canvas of real time on your TV set, and you're watching it. And if you let it go into the crevices of your heart, you will begin to draw near to the King who said, this is what it will be like. That's an awesome God. He said, I know what it's got to come to. I know that the nations have got to get aligned one with another. Never before the media age could the nations have gotten in sync. Never before the media age could there have been a time where everybody would be required to take a mark on their hand or their forehead. We're living in those times. And the Bible says that he that sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Now, I like this word, derision. Because in the Hebrew, it has the idea of stammering, not knowing what to say. It's not just that they don't know what to say, but they don't know what God is saying. It's the idea of when God brings judgment, He will speak to people with another language. Do you know, when I tell people about Jesus today, they look at me like a mule sometimes looking at a new gate. They're like, what? Really? You believe that? 30 years ago, when I would do my wallpaper business, I would go into people's homes in my painter's whites, and I would be doing work in their homes. And I would say, yeah, you know, you ought to get married before you go living together. And they're like, really? You think that? What? Do you realize that everything that we stand for in the right, for good, for morality, and for decency, and for propriety, the world now is looking at us like we're stammering in a foreign tongue. They don't even understand it. And the Bible says this is what's going to happen to them when it says He will hold them in derision. They're going to get to the place where they're going to look at you like you are off your rocker. You are out in left field. How can you even think that? And the Bible says He's going to have them in derision. That's where He's got them today. If you were to walk out, in fact, there were preachers that were out there at the Woman's March. Did you hear about those guys? There was a handful of street preachers. They showed up and realized, oh, we got a handful, so let's just go out and do it. And those women were spitting on them in front of their children. And they weren't being angry. They weren't being hateful. They were just sharing Jesus and trying to, you know, get a little bit of a listening. This stuff is happening in our generation.
They're looked at as if they're speaking in some foreign language. Verse 5 says, then, encircle that word, by the way. It says, when all of that happens, it says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. Do you know the tribulation is God messaging to them that they need to get saved? What it is. He raptures us out because we're not getting anything done anymore, because we can't, because the world's so caught up in some sort of a vortex of confusion. They can't hear us. So maybe they'll hear the pain. You know, maybe they'll hear the pain. Just like Muhammad Ali said, Superman don't need no safety belt, but Superman don't need no plane. These people think, I don't need no God. So God's going to say, well, let me just show you something. I'm going to take away a bunch of the food. I'm going to take away a bunch of the water. I'm going to take away a bunch of the animals. I'm going to take away their fear of man. I'm going to make them come after you. I'm going to take away your security. I'm going to take it away because that's mine. I don't need no plane. I don't need no plane. You need a plane. You need Christ. That's what you need. Every one of us needs Jesus. Without Him, there's no hope. And He says, when this stuff starts happening, He'll play with it. He will have them in derision. And then it says He will speak to them. And for 7 years, God's messaging to the people to come to Christ. He's going to send forth 144,000 Jewish evangelists. He's going to send forth a great multitude of people who will seal their testimony with their blood. He's going to send forth all of the elements against them. And He's going to be declaring, even in those days, come unto me. Look unto the Creator. Look unto God. And over again in the book of Revelation, we see it unfolding where they're told, you need to not take that mark. Because if you take that mark, it's here already. It's just not being mandated yet. But when that watermelon bursts and we're out of here, everybody's going to say, we need to get on board now. We got rid of those people who were giving us grief. Do you see where we are? Rubber band after rubber band after rubber band. Jesus is coming. Don't doubt it. This stuff has been prophesied. He says, then shall He speak unto them in His wrath. And the time of wrath is the tribulation. The Bible says you and I have not been pointed under wrath. Yeah, He's going to take us out. He's going to come in the clouds. He's going to gather us in a moment. We're going to be snatched out of here just like Lot was taken out of Sodom before the wrath fell. Just like Noah was put in the ark just before the wrath fell. You know, the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, right? It's going to be when the Son of Man comes. As in the days of Lot. What was the days of Noah? Violence filled the land. Do you see violence anywhere? Do you see it on your TV screen? Do you see it in your movies? Do you see it on TV now, regular TV? Violence. What was happening in the days of Lot? As in the days of Noah. Immorality. Do you see it? He says, just like that is when the Son of Man's coming. He says, then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Do you want to know what really will set God off quicker than anything? Is when the children are being completely raised for slaughter. This is what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember how bad it was there? If there be but 10, will you spare the city? Yeah, if there's 10 in the city, I'll spare it. Lot couldn't even get his own family to listen to him. His sons-in-laws thought he was one mocking, saying it's going to happen. And he was as to them as one who mocked. And what happened is God took him out of that city. And his daughters were so slimed that they seduced their father, thinking their world was an end. And there was no teaching in the kids, and the kids were a mess. He was willing to offer his daughters to the perverts on the street who wanted to take the angels. Guys, listen, this is the kind of day we're living in. When you have a half a million mothers with their children dressing up as these women dressed and speaking as these women spoke with their children in tow, you think we got a problem? I think we got a problem. This is huge. And the Bible says He's going to vex them in His sore displeasure. The wrath of God is on the agenda when he breaks forth and he begins to pour wrath upon people. And the first way he does it, the Bible says in Romans 1, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God reveals his wrath. The first way he does it is he gives people up. He gives them up from one stage to the next. It starts with idolatry. They change God's image. They say, well, that's God. He's a golden calf. In the Old Testament, we see that. We say God's a nice guy in the sky. Actually, sometimes we say he's a gal in the sky. Sometimes even our Bible printers, the people who published the New International Version, they have another one that was a gender-neutral version. Why? Because it sold. Because it was about the money. It wasn't about the integrity of the Scriptures. Do you know that when you look at the world in which we live, people will change the image of God if it will make them bank? They'll say, listen, you know what, we're going to marry people who are living in immorality and we will sanction this and we will look the other way and there's no problem. And why? Because that's what the people want. And that's God giving up. He gives them up to idolatry, first of all. Then he gives them up to immorality. Think 1960s. Free love. Then look what happens. It goes to indecency. Men with men, women with women. That's in the first chapter of Romans. That's the wrath of God. He gives them up, and finally to insensitivity. They don't even feel bad about it. That is the continuum of Romans 1. And you see the wrath of God. And when it gets so bad that the children are being slimed, just like in the days of Sodom, God said, get out of here, Lot. I've got to wipe this out because the kids are just being raised for the slaughter. Do you think children are being raised for the slaughter today? Parents are telling them how pretty they are and not telling them how good they should be. It's not about their beauty. Beauty is a curse, man. I'm thankful I'm just kind of an ordinary guy. I've seen guys who are really handsome. Man, the people, they just flock to them. They want to be around them. But the point is, I had a buddy, I told you about this years ago. I had a friend in college. He was like an unmade bed. I'm not kidding you. We had to wear ties, have our hair cut a certain way. He had his hair never combed. He was about 6'2". He had one of his shirt tails out, and he's walking around, just wrinkled white shirt, tie off to the side, and these things are all going on, and the girls are taking double takes at him. I'm like, what about me? Look, I got my shirt buttoned. But thank God I wasn't that guy, because that's dangerous ground right there. What I'm saying is the people are raising their kids for destruction. They're doting on them. They're telling them about sex appeal. And they're showing them that it's all about getting that kiss and holding that hand. And it's out of control. And that would be what makes God have a sore displeasure. That's when he will step into the mix. Did you ever have dad step into the mix? Kids are all rolling around. The whole house is at a low roar. Suddenly it gets out of control and a lamp breaks. And dad walks in. Woo! Party's over! You know, when God steps in, party's over. And this party's about ready to get over. But there's going to be at least 7 years before it's over. Am I painting the picture? Are we all feeling it today? It's crazy out there. Aren't you glad it's calm in here? Oh, there's peace in God's presence. It's a peace that passes all understanding. And those people are falling like flies out there. They're getting caught up in it. The Bible says that he will vex them in his sore displeasure. We're under the heading of the wrath of God. And it says in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I love that because it's written as if it's already done because it's prophetically true. I have set my king because when the tribulation ends, Jesus comes back. When the wrath is over and the dust is settling, Jesus comes back. And he sets up a perfect government for 1,000 years. Mentioned 6 times in the book of Revelation in chapter 20. The curse will be removed from the earth. Springs will break forth in the desert. The lion will lay down with the lamb. He sets up his kingdom and he will rule with a rod of iron. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily. As we go,
to the Word.